He has a unique set of skills that can somehow turn any situation into an awkward one. Dave Elliott.
And thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're here until we get done sometime between 8:30 and 9. We have a lot to cover today. And I'm very pleased to have one of my great friends with us, Mr. Bob Wiener, who joins us from Washington, D.C. He was a spokesperson in the White House for both George W. Bush and Bill Clinton, among many other things. Very involved in the National Press Club. And I understand, Bob, you are an award winner on the track. I'm not hearing you for some reason. I'm not sure why.
I don't know what you
there,
hello?
There it is. There it is.
Dave?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so I like to remind when I'm on your shows, and congratulations on your astounding and really top-flight career as a top broadcaster in Southwest Florida. So good job for you, Dave. You're well-known nationally. But I was Claude Pepper's chief of staff for 6 years.
Oh, that's right.
And that's one of the highlights of my life was the magnificence and the wonder and the joy of the leadership of Claude Pepper.
They don't make them like him anymore, do they?
No, they don't. Dave, you are the best, he would say.
Tell me about your recent experience at the Masters track and field. You won all kinds of awards.
You really want
there.
Me to do that? The gold, silver, and bronze medals I got in the 800, 4x800, 4x400, 4x100 relays, and the scoring nationally in the steeplechase, the long jump, and God knows what else. Okay, several events to help our team be third in the nation out of 129 teams. I just am back, literally, from the Masters Track National Championships in Geneva, Ohio.
Geneva, Ohio.
Right, on Lake Erie. Beautiful, gorgeous.
Outstanding. Let's talk a little Washington inside stuff here. You know that I try to be apolitical as much as I can be on this show, and I
brilliant as you are, you do reflect your listenership extremely well.
Well, you know, we're a conservative area here in Southwest Florida, yeah. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about the other side of the, somehow I'm picking up, feedback here. I'm not sure where it's coming from. That's a little puzzling, but it is nonetheless. We're looking for a leader. We're looking for a new leader in 2 years. We're looking for leaders in the House and the Senate this year.
That's right.
What leadership qualities should we be? I know this may seem like a really naive and off the wall question, but what? Well, I'm serious. But what? What qualities should we be looking at in a new leader, in leaders?
Well, I like what James Scarborough said today. He put it in perspective. A couple of Democratic candidates said some crazy things, and 98% of the Democratic Party says we're doomed. It is such nonsense, as he said. In 2020, Biden was doomed. Politico said that he can't survive, and then Clyburn endorsed him in South Carolina and switched the whole movement, and it came through. We need people, Dave, and the way I work my program at the National Press Club is regardless of party, regardless of which position people have, go for facts, go for truth, and go for bold, and go for charismatic. That's what we need. And so I'm hopeful. You know, I like to point out, with all due honesty, that both Vance and Bondi said, no, don't pardon everybody. Vance said, no, don't go into Iran. So, you know, there is idea, positive speaking on the Republican side, too. But people, I think maybe the Heather Cox Richardson put it in the best perspective. I wrote the quote down. Let's see, where is it? Well, I'll do it by memory. She said, once the American people reach the conclusion and say, shut the F up, the future leadership that is in there now would be doomed. It's a real call for change. It's a real call for change. And America has reached the what the F and shut the F up when Trump switches daily and minute by minute on the purpose of a war that actually was better off before he started than it is now. That's not partisan. That's just what the American people want, and they don't want their money from going to defense instead of health and housing and education and food costs. And they don't want that. What they want is somebody who hears what they feel, and what they feel is the high costs and money being stolen and given to billionaires instead of to the needs of the American people. How is that partisan?
I guess it's not partisan. I guess it really is common sense to a lot of people. But the problem is...
And that's why there's a 13 to 15 point flip and a minimum of 11 to 13 in not some, not a couple, but every single race, even in Trump's own Mar-a-Lago, that has been occurring. And that's why a wave is expected unless he tries to rig the election with sending ICE troops and gerrymandering and all of that. And he's had some success with that. But I believe that the pro-democracy forces have the judicial injunctions and the blocks ready, and 80 to 90% of all of that sticks. And I believe that the forces of protecting the vote the way that they should be are in the majority, even among Trump judges.
Well, you do have people who feel the other way, that the races were rigged against the president and Republicans, and that they are not going to take the election sitting down. It is interesting to note, however, that these people only seem to think the elections are rigged when they don't win.
That's right. One side is that way. The other side is gracious and makes the concession calls and all. That's 100% right. But it's exasperating, Dave. I mean, I respected, as you said, I worked for Bush after I worked for Clinton. And I got a thank you note from both presidents. And to me, it's exasperating when people don't accept American democracy as American democracy. And when the American people, you know, they were ultimately way against the spending on the unnecessary wars that was promised by this particular president, not never-ending wars that he's getting. I couldn't believe the headlines of the Washington Post yesterday and today. It's a flip-flop in terms of how you interpret things. All-out wars return, it says yesterday, and today it says uptick in U.S. troop injuries. But meanwhile, Trump is using it as an excuse that there are two more soldiers to go full-out, all-out again against Iran, instead of sitting down in a diplomatic, measured way and getting back to where we were before the memorandum of understanding, whatever understanding there was, but to getting back to the fact of talking. And, Dave, we talked about it offline yesterday. I cannot believe the influence of Netanyahu. It is unbelievable. But now even a half of Democrats are saying don't give Israel war funding and give them money for weapons. There's a real shift. You know, I'll say it on air. My family is Jewish. They are totally against this kind of willy-nilly support toward APAC's missions and goals. And they have been a real problem. And it's about time that the American people go case by case, issue by issue, support, yes, defense, yes, but create wars that every president said no to in the last 50 years to war with Iran, and this guy goes in and keeps getting Netanyahu to come to the White House, and then he comes out with, here we go again. You know, he was going to do a 3-4 month war, and then he was at the White House gaggle yesterday. You saw it, and he couldn't even give a reason for the war when the guy said, you said 3 or 4 weeks, maybe a month, maybe 2 months, and now here we are 6 months into it. And he says, well, the reason and the mission has changed. And I'm going to go back to Heather Cox Richardson's kind of language. You know, that's when the American people say, shut the F up, because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, well, that's the perspective that I think people need to hear, because we tend to get into our news silos. We listen to liberal networks or we listen to conservative networks, but we don't really ever listen to the other side.
Don't you, Dave? I do. I watch Fox to hear what they're saying.
I do tune into Fox.
My contractor told me that you have to listen. You have to listen to the Trumpies, because when what Trump is doing on immigration, which he's down on, what he is doing is sending a message with the hurt and the torture of ICE. That's inexcusable, but he's sending a message. And if you don't hear that and understand that, you don't know how to deal with the other side. You've got to be able to listen to the other side. So I really would urge your listeners, if you're pro-Trump, listen to MSNBC also. If you're pro, who knows who on the Gavin, I don't care, Gavin Newsom or anybody, on the Democratic side, then listen to Fox. I mean, you've got to do that. You've got to hear both sides so that you can understand the perspectives.
All right, let's move in a different direction here just for a minute, because I'm really curious to get your opinion on this. Who do you see this early out? We're 2 years and plus away from the general election in 2028. Who do you see as potential front runners on each side, or is it way too early to make that call?
Well, the people who say Rubio don't realize Vance is active, and the people who say Vance don't realize Rubio is active. And certainly Gavin Newsom earned some respect from the Democrats for the decision he got that allows the fight back against the Republican gerrymandering in the California races that really helped save some of democracy for us, because many states took that lead. And you can see what both South Carolina and Georgia did. They refused to go along with the gerrymandering and protected Clyburn and this and that. So it's hard, Dave. What I know, and a friend and I always have this contest, and Vance Man for Mondale and I are lifetime friends. He holds the record in California, Chuck Levin, for voter registration, grassroots. He and his mother set up this thing that got commended by the California Secretary of State and the Los Angeles City Council and streets named for him and so forth for doing this kind of ground. And he and I have a contest over the years of name the people we think 2 years in front. You know what? We're always wrong. Always. And you know, who heard of Carter? Who heard of Obama? You know, Clinton was going to win. And then you don't have Nixon to kick around anymore. And all of that, Dave. So anybody who claims that they know what they're talking about now in terms of who the nominee is going to be is wrong. So what really matters is, where are you 3 months in front of the election? And then you can start being in the reality. But it's really funny. We keep the records of this contest, and none of us ever picks the right nominee, except maybe once or 20 times, right?
And you know what's even more interesting is the polling has been so bad in the last several election cycles that you can't even count on the polls anymore. Is that because people are lying to the pollsters, or are they...
The polls are right when they are taken, and they're within 3 points usually, but that 3 points can be a big miss, as it was with Hillary. They can be wrong. They were wrong with Kerry, but those elections were very, very close. So, but when they're not close, like now you're talking about 20 points and 40 points, Trump down. You're talking about an 8-point generic advantage in the Democrats. The only way that can be the rigging that stops the reality of what the polling is showing. So you have to play the science as it is, and polling is the best we've got. But you're right. The polling has been off. I remember leaving, one election, and then it was actually in Australia for a World Masters track meet, thinking, oh, this thing is decided. And then the Los Angeles Times came out and showed it closing, and Trump was closing. And I said, uh-oh, trending is really wrong. And I went to the victory party at the National Democratic Club, and we had lost. So you just never know, but you got to watch the polling really close in, and the key is to watch the trending.
Yeah. Yeah, oftentimes way more important than the actual poll numbers is who's trending upward, who's trending downward.
Correct.
Bob Wiener, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We're going to have you on again, because I think as we get closer to the midterms, we're going to have some very interesting contests to talk about.
This was great, Dave, to be with you again.
Well, thank you
so much. And congratulations, everybody. Listen to Dave's podcast. It's great. And he's the best.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning from D.C. And actually, you're in Maryland this morning, I guess.
I am indeed, across the river from Mount Vernon. That's where Pat and I live.
All right. Well, congratulations to you on your victories at the Masters track and field. And we'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care, Dave.
Okay. Bob Wiener right here on the Dave Elliott Show. Thank you for joining us as well.